Thank you for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Versaro here on the Leadership Lowdown. And, you know, from time to time, I have the privilege and honor of having people that I've known for years or guests that have held some pretty impressive positions. And this one is a little bit of both. I am so pleased and honored to welcome to our show Jack Roberts. He's recently retired as the Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Jack, welcome to our show. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you very much, Vic. It's great to hear your voice. I look forward to times when we can be together again. I look forward to times we can be together with anybody.
That's right. We'd love to see just anybody right now. So, yeah, matter of fact, I have to tell you, Jack. The other day, I was in a grocery store and I was getting my cart around and a friend of mine that I've known for a number of years, but I hadn't seen for a while. He goes, Vic, and I look at him and go, Dan. I couldn't really hardly recognize him through the mask, but I'm glad I figured that out real quick. I'm glad he said something. I probably would have walked right by him. But
you know, these are strange times.
They are strange times, and you know, in different times, Jack. I know you're well traveled. You've got such a great story, and I want to make sure I don't ramble on too much because I got to get all of your story inside a little bit of time that we have to be together. So again, thank you for being a part of that. But Jack, your story didn't start in Michigan. I think understand your, is it Wisconsin that you're from?
I was born and raised in Wisconsin, and then went to college. I had a short career in coaching before beginning a long career in athletic administration that began unusually. I started at the national level and worked down actually to the state level, where I believe I was happier, more successful. I just felt in high school sports anyway, the level that's right for me.
Yeah.
Was not local, was not national. It was at state level where I could influence a lot, and yet the constituency wasn't so large that I felt it was cumbersome. At the state level, we could get some things done that at the national level, we couldn't. So I really have enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we had a little bit of an audio problem there, but I want to make sure I understood. Did you, when you came to Michigan, how did that pathway get you here to our state? What took place?
I was the executive vice president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, located in Kansas City, right across from Royals Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium, and on the east side of the metropolitan area of Kansas City. I was minding my own business, and I read that Vern Norris had retired as the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. I knew Vern, so I sent him a congratulatory note on his retirement. And lo and behold, if he didn't get back to me and said, would you be interested in the job? To have hired someone to that job from outside the state of Michigan, outside the field of interscholastic athletics at that time, was really a stretch. And but I did apply and was interviewed and hired, and it was a wonderful fit. Vic, I come from a family that is in tune with the administration of high school athletics. My dad was the executive director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association for 29 and a half years.
Oh, my word.
So I did for a little over 32 what my dad did for over 29. I just did it in Michigan. And he did it in Wisconsin.
That's incredible. I had no idea, Jack. You know, that's kind of like in your blood, and it's one of those things where maybe it was just fate and predestiny that brought you to that whole point.
Yes. You know, in arriving here in Michigan from out of state, I certainly didn't know all the people. I didn't know all the issues. But having it in my blood, as you indicated, made me have an instinct for what matters.
Yeah.
And it was a lovely fit. I've told people I had a 32-year honeymoon in this position. I loved it. It was just right for me. for a lot of reasons that maybe we can get into as we go along.
Yeah, and I guess I have to ask, when you got this position, was your dad still living?
Yes, he was. He had retired in January of 1986, and I was hired as the director here in Michigan in starting in August of 1986. So our terms never overlapped. But for all but 7 months of 62 years,
yeah,
there was a John E. Roberts as the director of a state high school association in the United States.
I don't think that'll ever be topped ever again. I think that's pretty impressive. And, you know, of course, two things come to mind. One is what an advantage you had when you could pick up the phone and call Dad, right, and say, Dad, yes, have you run into that before? Or what would you do to get started? I mean, the well of wisdom that you had to reach back into would just be incredible.
When my dad was a young man, he was a coach, and I was his son. I would sit on the dummies at practice and watch him coach football. Then he got the job as the director of the High School Athletic Association in Wisconsin. And around the dinner table, we would talk about sports, and not just sports in general, but sports from the standpoint of athletic administration. You know, a lot of young people go into business after sitting around a dinner table where their moms and dads were people of business. But in my family, it was sports and it was athletic administration. That's what we talked about. And I would hear the ups and downs and the frustrations from my dad, and I think I picked up an instinct for the work through those dinnertime conversations.
Oh, I bet you did.
At the state level was talked about around our table. So you're right, I developed something of a feel for it and a great interest in it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, I'm so glad, Jack, that you're here to share your story. It's truly a legendary story for Michigan athletics as well as high school athletics around the state, even the country. So glad you took time to be with us today, Jack, and so glad that you've tuned into the Michigan Business Network here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro with Jack Roberts. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Works Association believes the key to advancing prosperity across the state is accomplished through building a skilled workforce. As the state's primary workforce development association, their focus is to continue to move the needle on policy, education, and collaboration. They're creating an opportunity and building stronger communities by advocating and innovating together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm so delighted to be talking to my old friend Jack Roberts. He's retired executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And, of course, that barely fits on a business card, but with his years of experience, I'm not sure anything fits on a business card for this guy. Jack, you know, we were talking about some of the elements, but do I have my numbers right? Is it 37 years? How many years were you in that position?
It was 32 years 32. And a month. My tenure in Michigan.
Very good. Well, 32 years, and I have to tell you, it feels like in the cancer culture or the cancel culture that we have nowadays that, you know, it's really hard to manage those things. And if there's anything that to me is a challenge, it probably is parents and their athletic children getting play time and all the other things. I know that's one of the frustrations that coaches have. How do you last for 32 years in such a dynamic position and such a visible one?
When I retired, Vic, in August of 2018, September of 2018, I was the longest serving a director of a state high school association at that time. Currently serving.
Yeah.
There have been some who served longer than that years ago, but 32 years and a month at this time of life is unusual. The jobs tend to grind up and spit out people pretty quickly.
legislative interferences, judicial challenges, and media and social media can drive a good man nuts, a good woman
right,
nuts
sure.
his jobs. So I think some of the secrets of this longevity are these. I was an optimist, and I remained an optimist throughout my time. I expected good things to happen. Even in the midst of a lot of bad things happening, I expected good outcomes. Mm. That helped a lot.
Yep.
I was and am an idealist. I thought of school sports in a real idealistic, almost reverent way for the things that it can do for people. So rather than getting bogged down on the bad things, I would try to dwell on the high ideals that we have for educational athletics. The value, this is something that John Johnson at the MHSA coined, the value and values of educational athletics. We are, I still say we are, even though I've been retired
right.
2 years.
I get
school
it.
Sports, school sports is a great bargain for school districts. So they so effectively and efficiently and inexpensively can convey high values to the participants when they're run right.
Yeah. Well, Jack, when you have this kind of tenure in a position, and obviously nationally it's number one in terms of length. So tell me, there's got to be a lot of stakeholders that you have to be paying attention to, isn't it? Is that the right way to put that?
Yes, there are a lot of stakeholders, and it's important, I think, first and foremost, to think how the athletes are being treated. When you put their health and welfare first, their safety first, that answers a lot of questions and gets you out of a lot of controversies. And I also think that, you know, the MHSA was and is a rules-making body. They established the rules of eligibility and competition that govern sports. Mm-hmm. And when you can rely on the rules, when that's your sort of a safe harbor, that gives you another point of reference. So thinking about the kids, erring on the side of the student-athlete was the way I wanted to err, but always relying on the rules. Once you started yourself trimming the rules, looking a way to get around the rules, that invites difficulty for an administrator. It's just what we expect in our government leaders. We want them to obey the law and be law-abiding, depend on the law.
Yeah.
Well, as an athletic administrator, that's what I tried to do, be rule-abiding and depend on the rules and uphold them. I felt that if our constituents could see us depending on the rules and never bending them, then they would be more likely to enforce the rules and never bend them on the local level.
Well, and I think that's so powerful when you get to talking about, the rules. It's about established boundaries, if you will, when you talk about rules, because I think it allows everybody to say, look, we want it to be fair. And in order for it to be fair, we have to set a certain element of boundaries there. And I think that for, as we talk to leaders in this show, setting boundaries and expectations is really kind of a crystal clear opportunity for us, because that kind of makes the path straight. Well, Jack, I'm so glad you're here, and you've got a lot to share with us. We've got a lot of information to unpack here, including a book that you wrote that we want to get to as well. So stay right where you're at, folks. We're going to be right back here on the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm with Jack Roberts today. I'm Vic Versaro, and thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Looking for the best value on your office products with the best service in the industry? For over 30 years, DBI customers have enjoyed outstanding customer service with competitive pricing on everything your office needs, from break room to boardroom. DBI can supply all your work essentials, from paper and coffee to storage and seating. DBI. We Do Office. Everything for the office, one call, one source, one solution. Visit DBI online at dbiyes.com.
Welcome back to the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro, and our guest today is Jack Roberts. He's a retired executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, a big job, a very visible job, and something he did for 32-plus years, the longest serving nationally of any high school athletic executive director type position. And so, Jack, it doesn't come without kind of weaving some very delicate moments together, and as well as some great triumphs in your career. But I got to believe that some of that came from of your extraordinary abilities, came from people that have touched your life and have done some great things for you. Any of those mentors come to mind that you could share with us that might be takeaways for our audience?
Vic, I'm glad you asked, because there are two that I know affected me very much and in very positive ways. I learned at the knee of my father, who was was a great coach, great father, great man, and director of the Wisconsin High School Athletic Association for 29 and a half years. He certainly shaped me in many ways. Many ways I hardly can express. The other person, very important to me, was Cliff Fagan. He was the executive director of the National Federation of State High School Association, and hired me when I was just a young coach. Hired me because they needed someone to be the first person ever in that office in charge of public, legislative, and judicial affairs.
Oh boy!
In the early 70s, and you can imagine how things have changed. That I was the first. I was just a youngster. I had been an English major in college. I'd been a coach, and he thought this would be just the right kind of resume for this job.
Yeah.
Legislative, judicial, and public affairs was what I worked on. But it was Mr. Fagan who, more than any other person, encouraged me to write. He was concerned that too few of the leaders of high school athletics across the country were writing about school sports and the values that and the ideals that we had to uplift, the philosophies that were so critical to making school sports be educational athletics. He encouraged me to write. He made me promise that I would write. And so from those early days in his office, I began to write, and my whole career then was writing. At the High School Athletic Association, we published two volumes of my essays over the years, and one volume was published in 2000, the second volume in 2010, and then after my retirement, we published a book that I think you want to ask me about in a little bit, and I can give you some more details about this newest book.
Yeah, well, you know, as you're talking about your giftedness in terms of writing, I think that's really tremendous. I've never had that ability much in my world. But you know what I am taken by, Jack, you have an extraordinary ability to capture an audience and to tell stories and to speak. Where did that? Because there's other leaders that are sitting going, man, I wish I could talk like that or whatever. Tell me how you formed some of that. Where did your ability to stand in front of 1,000 people and make a speech come from? Because I think you're pretty darn good at it.
Well, there's a couple of things. When I was a youngster and my dad was the executive director in Wisconsin, I used to go to some banquets and listen to him speak. And he had a big booming voice and was a good communicator. Also, my mother was a great factor. And as a matter of fact, I got a long story about her that I'll shorten up. But when I was a senior in high school, I missed a basketball practice because I had to go to a required play rehearsal.
Oh my!
And then later in that year, I had to give a graduation speech. And when I gave my graduation speech, everybody in the whole gymnasium could hear me in every corner, even though the public address system was just awful. And my mother at that time turned around, and my basketball coach was sitting behind her, and she said to him, "See there? That's what he learned at play practice." And frankly, she was heard well all through the gymnasium as well. But my mom believed that play practice was as important as basketball practice for me, and she was right. And I think that time as a thespian and as a singer, those things helped me have poise at the podium and helped me communicate. And then I have to add, being a writer, I've always believed, in fact, Cicero wrote that we should never act upon a subject until you've first written upon it. And I would go further, don't speak about a topic until you've written about it, because it helps to clarify your ideas and helps you boil them down and synthesize them, make them brief and powerful. And I think once you put your thoughts in writing and you see them there, and the public sees them, you got to have the courage to put those words down so people can take shots at them. And I did that for not just the last 32 years of my career, but starting earlier in the career when I worked at the National Federation of State High School Associations for Mr. Fagan.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that is one of the things that I think a lot of people work on in terms of techniques, is that they actually will type out the email or write out their thoughts and sit on it overnight, which isn't a bad way to go, because I've seen some people fire off some angry emails or send some things or even say some things that are like, ooh, did you really think that one through? And so I love what you just shared there, and there's just so much, Jack, so much to learn from you, and so many great experiences. I'm sure we won't have enough time for this, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that folks have tuned in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown with Jack Roberts. Vic Versero will be right back.
Most of us aren't looking around for accidents waiting to happen. That would be sort of odd. But when you have Accident Fund Workers' Compensation Insurance, that's exactly what they are doing. Accident Fund employees are the WorkSafe people. They take your safety very seriously because that's all they do. Workers' Compensation Insurance. That's why they're rated A excellent by AM Best. Go to accidentfund.com/worksafe and get the WorkSafe people.
Accident Fund is a wholly owned subsidiary of Accident Fund Holdings Incorporated, the 10th largest workers' compensation insurer in the United States.
You've tuned in to the Michigan Business Network. Thank you for listening to the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Versero, and our special guest today is Jack Roberts. And Jack is retired executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Jack, we were just talking about some things in the last segment, and we talked a little bit about maybe letting ourselves take a breath before we send something out and kind of getting to maybe writing it down. I thought that was some pretty good advice. Is it any kind of a technique that you used over the years?
Yes, indeed. My associate director at the MHSA, Tom Ratchett, by the way, there could not be two more different people who filled each other's gaps and became one full service State High School Association executive director. It was Tom and me. But we had a technique when we were coming to the end of a controversial investigation, and we had to communicate a decision. We stumbled upon this and then did for years follow it. Make one more call. Let's make one more call. And so often that one more call we made clarified a detail that led to a changed position, a changed decision, or if it didn't, that one more call helped us to diffuse the antagonism that might have been received by the person or the school being penalized. The one more call either got us more information toward a better decision, or it built relationships to have that decision be communicated and accepted better.
Wow.
It was a great technique that we developed, I should have patented because I've told others about it, and it really, really works. And Tom and I, and he liked to make that last call, by the way. He got great pleasure in it, and it takes a special skill, which Tom had.
Yeah. Well, I love two things there. One is the yin and the yang, putting yourself in a situation where you hire people that are in and around your world that are exactly the same doesn't give you the benefit of having different perspective and different thought patterns. So I love the fact that you had a yin and a yang kind of thing going on there. That's really powerful. And then the other thing is the one more call, because oftentimes taking a breath rather than emotionally taking the decision, well, I've got all I need to hear here, really makes you feel like you've gotten to the bottom of the story. And I just love that. This is the reason why 32 years in a position that just simply never lasts that long was something that was in your future, and you had done so well. Jack, there's some things we want to do in this conversation, but one of the things that I reveled in was listening to you speak. We used to attend a program called the Michigan High School Athletic Scholarship Award Program, and every time you were there, you would actually come out and do some speaking and kind of wrap it up for us. But there was one story that I always thought was really exciting and meaningful and poignant for the students. Would you mind do me a favor and share that with our audience?
Sure. Yeah, I love that Scholar Athlete Award banquet occasion because they were the cream of the crop. They were the students that would wreck the curve for all the other students
right,
in school.
Right.
You know, and it was a new audience every year. So I could tell the same
right.
story over again. That's why you remember it. It was a true story of a football playoff game in Illinois a number of years ago, where one team was leading the other 7-3 with 10 seconds remaining in the game. And the team with the lead had the ball, and all they had to do was run out the clock in the last 10 seconds. So the quarterback took the snap, and he dropped back from his 40-yard line to the 35, to the 30. He was kind of running around, evading tackles. He retreated to the 25-yard line, and the crowd is going 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and the crowd is getting anxious. And the crowd goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the quarterback was running around, throws the ball up into the air, at which time a member of the other team, a defender, grabs that ball out of the air and runs it into the end zone for a touchdown for his team, and they win the game 9-7. And the point was that in his rush to celebrate, that quarterback had lost all that he had been working for, all that his team had been working for. And what I did then was admonish the students there who were seniors, spring of their senior year, getting ready for all of those celebrations, all of those deserved celebrations. I would admonish them, in your rush to celebrate, don't lose all that you had been working for and your teachers and your parents had been working for. In your rush to celebrate, be careful.
Ugh.
And I think I had more moms and dads come up to me afterwards and say, thank you for that story, because they were finding it difficult to communicate to their sons and daughters about the importance of being careful during your time of celebration. And they needed a new way, and I helped them convey a message. You know, an expert is always someone who doesn't live at home or is from another state. So I was the expert for the parents those days.
Well, Jack, oh, man, you didn't disappoint at all. I just love it. I think it's so powerful. And, of course, the thing is that not only, you know, how many times have we heard a tragedy surrounding a senior class where somebody's out at the end of their senior year and something happens in a car or whatever, and it just breaks your heart. And, of course, the other takeaway for me is always about play to the end. Play to the end. Yeah. Don't stop early. Don't give up early. There's always something there that makes the difference. So, you know, on the kid that received that ball and ran it in for the touchdown, well, so heads up and so never quit, never give up. And what a powerful, powerful story. Jack, I'm humbled that you would spend time with us today. So grateful that you've been here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Verschereau with the amazing Jack Roberts. We'll be right back.
The attorneys of Foster Swift, Collins & Smith offer legal counsel to businesses, families, individuals, and municipalities throughout Michigan, with offices in Lansing, Farmington Hills, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Marquette, and Holland. Clients know they can count on Foster Swift for all their legal needs, from straightforward wills to sophisticated business transactions and complex litigation. Learn more about Foster Swift and how they can assist you at fosterswift.com.
Welcome back to Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro with the impressive Jack Roberts. He is the retired executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. 32 years, an amazing history, and an awful lot of things to share. And so glad he's sharing them here today on this leadership program. I'm curious, Jack. You know, the one thing we want to be able to talk about is your book entitled "Airing It Out: Lessons and Letters from a Career in High School Sports." So, Jack, what was the inspiration? Did you start writing this? Well, I think I know the answer because I've got one in my hand. You probably started this book 32 years ago, but honestly, when did you start writing it in terms of putting it pen to paper and actually publishing the book?
I began writing it about 4 months after I retired, after I returned from a lengthy travel with my wife. I got serious about this, and I wrote it because I felt that there were some things that I had seen that others had not seen. Others were around now, and I didn't want some things to get lost. I've been, as you can tell from earlier part of this interview, I'm a fan of the written word, and I kept a lot of records at the Michigan High School Athletic Association that I would fear would be lost. I have a lot of memories that would be lost. Sometimes, to quote the Hamilton play, I was the only one in the room when something happened. And if these things didn't get written down, I feared they never would get written down. I felt that I served in this job at the Michigan High School Athletic Association at a certain time and in a certain way that was important, and I wanted to set it down in writing what took place during those times. Not everything, but there's 13 chapters and 200 pages of often dwelling on bad things and what we learned from them, and I included letters in the book so that no one would think that this was revisionist history. I have actual letters that were written at the time so people can see what I was doing, what I was thinking, and what the MHSAA and school sports should have been standing for at those particular times.
Well, and I think it's kind of, you know, I just love these kind of things. I've been around in other organizations where, you know, books like this have been written, and I think it's great documentation for people to go back and refer, because, look, the institution of the High School Athletic Association is truly something that is historical, is developing. It's a story that has yet to be completely told, because it's making history today. So there's so many things that are there. I love your book, though. One of the things that's so fun about the book, each chapter starts with actually a quote and at the top of the chapter, and one that I thought was really particularly important, because we talk about leadership on this show, is the one from George Bernard Shaw, and he says the major problem with communication is the illusion that it has occurred. I love that. I think that's really interesting, because my other technique is seek first to understand before you wish to be understood, from Stephen Covey. And so, tell me about that communication. You picked that for a reason. It really spoke to me, because I think communication has to go both ways. What was your thoughts when you wrote that into the book?
Well, the quote was important to me because for the chapter it heads, it was a chapter that addresses the decline in print media, print sports media, especially at the local level, and the rise of social media as an anemic replacement, an inadequate replacement. And throughout my career at the MHSAA especially, communication was important to me. I remember telling my board when they hired me, they weren't going to get communication as an afterthought. They were going to get it as an intentional, even a program, a department of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. That's how important I felt it was. And that's when I we hired, my first hire was John Johnson as a communications director. We hadn't had one up until that time at the MHSAA. And so I hired him within my first year on the job with the Michigan High School Athletic Association. The communication was the core. I often thought that we could redeem some bad decisions with good communication, and that we could always further the good of good communication of our decisions through better communication. So it was an essential for me, not an afterthought. I think my career would demonstrate that. The book is an effort to communicate the past, to demonstrate the importance of the written word, the importance of letters in communicating. Carefully drawn, carefully researched and written letters are still important today. They were the only way to communicate when I began my career. They were still the essential way to communicate all the big important things at the end of my career.
Well, and Jack, as I look at some of the letters in the book, I mean, truly they are exceptionally well written, of course. But I love the fact that it truly has a sense of documenting history and really pulling out some of the big key things here about Michigan athletics. And there's so much to take a look at and unpack. We're going to look forward to getting to the rest of that and also finding out where we can get this book when we return back here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. We'll be right back.
The Lansing Board of Water and Light plans to close the coal-fired Eckerd Power Station. A plan by a citizens committee and the BWL will replace Eckerd with clean power from the wind, the sun, and from cleaner natural gas and energy-saving technologies, and improve our air quality and environmental health. Learn more about the BWL's plan for reliable, affordable, and cleaner energy at LansingEnergyTomorrow.com. The Lansing Board of Water and Light. Hometown people. Hometown power.
Welcome back to Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm in my final segment with Jack Robertson. Jack, it's been a real fun ride for us to hear about some of the history and some of your concept and extraordinary leadership you've lent to the state of Michigan. You know, and in this book, Airing It Out, Lessons and Letters from a Career in School Sports, there's a lot of things. First, let's start with this. Where can we get this book? How do you want to get people directed there?
The book is available from the Michigan High School Athletic Association that is the publisher. And you can contact them, the MHSA, directly for it. The intended audience was coaches, administrators, all of those who come to the MHSA building each year. A couple of thousand each year come, and the book was going to be given to these people who are doing service for the MHSA and committees and so forth. But under COVID, no one's been able to come to the MHSA office.
Right.
So as a result, there are a lot of these still waiting to be distributed, and the MHSA can be the spot for that. You can go online to MHSA.com to get the particulars and how to contact the MHSA.
You bet. Well, one other quick thing I wanted to ask you about, one of your other quotes that starts out, really the closing chapter, it says, at its best, leadership is a labor of love. And so that's not your quote, but it's one that you included in the book. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it comes from Leadership on the Line,
which I think is perhaps the best leadership book that I've ever read. And it's not a new one. It was published some time ago by a couple of guys out of Harvard, but it's really, really good. I got more leadership tips out of that book than any other in my career. So I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
Leadership on the Line is the name of the book.
Well, and as you as I was looking at the book, one thing, you know, the book is full of letters and quotes and really some real treasures. But one thing that caught my attention was that a rare photo appeared, and it was a picture of a pretty standard boat that was, and of course the world, everyone needs to know you're a world traveler. It was a picture in, I think, taken in Portofino of a simple boat. And you made a metaphor out of that. So would you care to share that?
I'd be happy to. The book is 13 chapters long, and then a closing. And then I added what I call a coda. Kind of an afterthought, but it is a speech that I was scheduled to give last March in keynoting the Michigan Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association annual conference in Traverse City. I couldn't give the speech, so we included the speech in the book, and there's a picture of this little wooden rowboat, which I say is a metaphor for school sports. It's not a big fancy yacht like the professional
right.
and Division I college basketball. It's a little wooden rowboat, and this is a metaphor for school sports. It is plain. It's the polar opposite of glamorous, and it's powered by the people who actually sit in the boat.
Oh.
This is school sports, where the people who are most affected are in charge, rowing this boat together with nothing fancy. No big sails, no big motor, no big luxuries. We are plain, but that's what we are. The culture of school sports is local, amateur, inexpensive. And when we try to be what we are not, if we try to be too glamorous, we try to be too large, too grandiose, we actually work against our purposes of educating through interscholastic athletics.
Mm, that's awesome. You know, it's so perfect too, Jack. When you think about some of the things that you've seen over the years, and the way that you've watched kids and parents and coaches and all the different things, you know, I just marvel at some of the things that you brought to the entire mission that you've had. So tell me, anything that you'd redo? Anything that you go, man, I think maybe I would do more of this if it was given another 32 years?
Yes, there's one for sure. There's probably many if I thought longer, but there's one for sure. I wish, you know, as much as I wrote letters and as much as I wrote essays, I wish I would have started more days than I did with writing a short note to a coach, to an athletic administrator, to an athlete, to some constituent, a note of encouragement or congratulations. Those notes that I did write not only bolstered someone's spirits, they bolstered a relationship between me and that person that became very, very precious. I should have done it every day, not just once a week or every other day. I should have done it every day, and that's what I would encourage people in positions of leadership to do. They do so much good, and I could have done so much more had I written those notes every day, not just some of the days.
Wow. You know, and the advice just keeps coming, and that's absolutely a gem and a pearl for us to keep and hang on to, Jack. You know, I'm out of time here on this show, but Jack, you are a treasure to Michigan. Your service to this great state and to the thousands and thousands of young people that had a chance to participate in high school athletics that were fair, well run, and gave them lifelong skills. That came from efforts that you helped to lead and you helped to do. And I want to, on behalf of the citizens of Michigan and all those young people, say thank you for your service.
Well, thank you very much, Vic. It came from the heart. It was a great fit for me. I've just been honored to and grateful that I could serve so long.
Well, you've given so much, and we're so grateful. We're glad you tuned in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Versereau. I look forward to next event. Talk to you soon.